This week on Art in the Air, we feature pastel and charcoal artist Marianne Pals, who returns to share her experience as Indiana Dunes National Park Artist in Residence. Next, we have Hoosier Star vocal coach and LaPorte County Symphony keyboardist Becky Olson, along Hoosier Star youth winner Savannah Holly. Our spotlights on Lakeshore Community Concerts 2023-24 season.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, and WDSO 88.3 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on WDSO 88.3 FM. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight from the Lakeshore Community Concerts, and that's at Munster High School's Munster Auditorium. And we're going to talk about the upcoming season they have with the person who coordinates it all, Carolyn Borchardt. Welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Hi. Thanks for having me. It's great to see you and Esther again.
Well, great to have you on the show. So we want to talk about, real briefly, last season, how it went. I know we interviewed a few of the people that were on your docket, and then we'll get into what's coming up for 23-24.
You are correct. We had a terrific season last year. Every single concert, we had people raving about how wonderful, and it's the best one they'd ever seen. And we even picked up new subscribers as late as the third and fourth concert in the season, which is totally unusual. So we were thrilled to death with last season.
Carolyn, did you see uptick in children being brought?
Yes, particularly the last one, there were more children. And I know already for ticket sales this year, we've had several requests for the family plan, you know, the extra $15 to bring your children. So we're really enthused about there being more children attending.
That's great.
It's a great thing.
Well, while we're on that, why don't you tell us about how that deal works, and we'll remind people at the end of the interview what the family plan, so to speak, works like.
Basically, if you buy a regular adult subscription for $75, you can add on $15 and get all your kids for the whole season also.
Well, that's a great deal. That way you can expose them to what you have going on there. So.
Definitely.
So tell us a little bit about what we have coming up in the 23-24 season for Lakeshore Community Concerts.
We have, of course, I think it's a fantastic lineup. We have a group called Vox Fortura on September 18th, which is a classical crossover group from the United Kingdom. They were semi-finalists in Britain's Got Talent. We have Barbara Padilla in October. She is a classical soprano crossover. We're originally from Brazil. I don't know if she still claims that or not. Then in November, we have The Suits, which is four genres, four decades, a guy group, and they sing anything from the 50s through the 80s, Motown, doo-wop, pop and rock, all that variety. Then in February, we have The Starlets, And they are an iconic girl group, like the Ronettes or the Angels or the Shirelles. And they're taking us on a musical journey from the 50s and 60s. Also some pop and doo-wop and R&B. Then in March, we have Mia Vasila. Mia is from To the Virtuoso Pianist. And she's been all over Europe and Asia and Latin America as a soloist, a chamber musician, opera accompanist. She brings a pair of dancers with her. And our final concert of the season is April 13th, and that's Benny and the Jets, which is an Elton John tribute, which should be a ton of fun.
Especially for Elton John fans. And since he's retiring, that's probably a great concert to have and everything there. So tell us about the process working with live entertainment. And of course, one of my favorite people down there is Laura Anderson when I was at Munster Auditorium.
Yeah, she's a wonderful person, Laura is. And we spend a lot of time with her. And she and the live on stage people have always been so accommodating and giving us all the help we need with anything we need. And I just can't say enough about how wonderful they have been to us. And we'll be picking out our 24-25 season pretty soon with them.
How does that process work?
In August, they have a national conference where they let us look at, last year I think it was 27. I don't know how many we have this year because I was unable to go. But we get to look at all the acts and then we narrow it down to 10, the group that goes, pick out 10 that they think everyone will like and will show well. And then we bring that list back to our board. And by that time, Live on Stage has released the auditions online on their website. So then we have all of our board members watch that and put in their input. They don't have to just look at our 10. They can look at all of them. And if they have somebody they feel is not on the list it should be, then we discuss that. And then late in September, we have our representative from Live on Stage, Melanie Bliss, and her husband Norman come. And with them, we, the whole board and I, narrow it down to our 6 for the season for the following year concert series.
So, Carolyn, when somebody purchases a ticket, do they have assigned seating or is it an open seating arrangement?
It's open seating. There is no assigned seating.
And a 1,000-seat auditorium, that's a very great advantage.
We had over 600, almost 700 subscribers. Plus, you get the reciprocity people from LaPorte and Portage. So that makes a nice group. There's plenty of room for everybody.
In our last few moments here, tell us how they can find out information about your website and how they can get tickets.
Our website is lakeshoreconcerts.org, and you can go online and purchase your tickets, or you can get a brochure and mail in your ticket request, your ticket money. If you do that, then you're going to mail it to our post office box, P.O. Box 9313 in Highland, Indiana, 46322. And as always, you can call myself at 219-932-9795.
Well, Carolyn Borkhart from the Lakeshore Community Concerts, thank you for coming on. LakeshoreConcerts.org. And you can find out more, all the information there. Thanks for being on Art in the Air Spotlight.
Have a successful season.
I just appreciate you.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Lakeshore Public Media is brought to you by McCauley Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. This is Pledge Week for your public radio station. And Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge so we may continue to bring you this great program.
This is Whitney Reynolds of The Whitney Reynolds Show, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Marianne Pals back to Art on the Air. Marianne is a pastel and charcoal artist and has received Master Circle status from the International Association of Pastel Societies. She's here today to tell us all about her Indiana Dunes National Park Artist-in-Residence experience, both the exhibit and the presentation at the Indiana Dunes Visitor Center. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Marianne. It's good to see you again.
Yes, thank you so much.
It's glad to have you back on and sharing your journey. But, you know, in case our audience hasn't heard your previous interview, we'd like to kind of recap your whole experience of like where you grew up and your artist journey and everything. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Okay, I'll start at the beginning. I grew up in a south suburb of Chicago in Illinois. And when I was in like second grade, there was an all-school art show, and my school teacher chose my artwork to represent all the second graders. It was a farm scene with using crayons, and she pulled my parents aside at the little art reception and said, "Get this little girl into art lessons. She's got talent." So I've always noticed details and just wanted to, I've never met a blank piece of paper that I didn't get attached to immediately. And so I started taking private art lessons from the art teacher in town, Julia Van Clay. And I took lessons from her all through grade school. She put me through the paces, started with charcoal, learned how to draw just about anything, including portraits. And then I moved on to color with pastels. And I worked with those for a while, quite a while. And she taught me a lot about color theory, even though she didn't call it color theory because I was in the middle of grade school. But she was a really good teacher. And then I went on to oils and I taught myself how to use acrylics when I was in college. I took a course in watercolor during college. And I just learned so much from Julia and from other teachers along the way. And then back in the year 2000, when my kids were in school and I just really needed to get back to my artwork, after teaching grade school for several years and getting married and raising kids, decided that I'd go back and concentrate on just pastels because that was my first color love, pastels. And I do not regret that one bit. I still, every once in a while, pull out my charcoal pencils and fool around with them, but mostly it's pastels. So,
was it about pastels that you love?
They're a dry art medium. They're like chalks, but they're highly pigmented compared to sidewalk chalk. And the pigmentation and the immediacy of it, you don't have to mix anything. You just pick up the stick and you start putting it on the paper. You don't have to clean anything up except your hands because they're full of pastel dust. It's like finger painting, but in dry form. And I just love the tactile experience of it. You're not holding a tool, you know, like a brush. It's you and that pastel stick right on the paper. And then I blend with my fingers. I blend colors with my fingers. And I remember back in the year 2000 when I started taking some art lessons again from a pastel teacher, I asked her, so what do you blend with? Because pastelists blend with different things. And some pastelists never touch their paper. They don't believe in using their fingers. They think it darkens the pastels, the glistening quality. And they think it adds oils from your fingers to the pastel dust and it changes the medium. I don't agree with that. But anyway, I asked the teacher, what do you use for blending? And she said, Marianne, the good Lord gave you 10 blenders for a reason. So I use my fingers and it served me well. But I love the immediacy of it. And I love the tactile sensation when I'm working with it and the glowing results. The pastel dust just glistens on the paper. It just glows.
We should probably talk about, you're a member of several prestigious societies for the work that you've done over the years. Tell us a little bit about that journey, getting into those and the things like you've been doing to enter those type of exhibitions and societies?
When I started taking lessons in earnest back in the year 2000 from some really top-notch artists in the upper Midwest, I found out that they were members of some national pastel societies. And I'm like, what is this all about? And so I looked into it and found out that there's something called IAPS, the International Association of Pastel Societies. And there are local chapters that belong to IAPS all across the United States and from all over the world. And you are a member of IAPS only by being a member of your local chapter. So it's kind of like you're a citizen of the United States, but you are, you know, a resident of Indiana or wherever. It's just like that with IAPS. And so I started to look into local pastel societies, found out about the Great Lakes Pastel Society, and I joined that society, and I am so glad I've been a member for many years of that society. We have annual shows, which I organize for many years now. I'm exhibition chair of that society. And I also belong to the Mid-America Pastel Society and to the Chicago Pastel Painters. So I'm a member of three of those pastel societies. If you are a member of your local chapter, then you can actually enter the international competition sponsored by IAPS, only if you're an active local member. And so I started looking into IAPS competitions, and that's when I started, when you get into one of their shows at the international level, then you start to accrue points toward master circle level with IAPS. And that's what I achieved 2 years ago during COVID. And I got my master circle medallion last year at their international convention. It's a big deal. So, yeah.
And you also had a piece that hung in the State House. Tell us a little about that experience with the lieutenant governor.
That was a competition only open to Hoosier women artists. Back in 2008, I entered that competition, and you could only enter one piece. Usually when you enter these big competitions, you enter several pieces, right? And you hope that one of them gets in. We only had one shot at this. You had to be a woman from Indiana, an artist, and one shot with one piece of artwork. And so I entered a big Sunset Over Lake Michigan pastel painting, and it got accepted.
Yay.
And there were, I think, five or six of us. And our artwork, that piece that we entered and got accepted, hung in the lieutenant governor's office in the Capitol building for an entire year. And that was quite the honor. Quite the honor.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
So with these organizations, how active are these organizations? Is it just pay your dues and you're part of it, or are there other responsibilities?
You pay your dues and you're part of it. And then you can be as active as you want to be. It was discovered that I'm an organizer. And so they asked me if I wanted to, quote, help with organizing one of the shows. This is with the Great Lakes Pastel Society years ago. And I did help. And they said, oh, my goodness, we need to get you in line to take on the job of exhibition chair. And I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And I did so well the first year I organized the shows. They're like, you do realize you have this job for life now, right? But we have once a year shows. They travel all over the state of Michigan because that's where most of the members are from. It's fine. I get to travel to places in Michigan, to different galleries. Sometimes there's paint outs. Those have gone by the wayside for the past several years because of the pandemic. But we've had a lot of really neat Zoom meetings with the membership at large. And this goes with Mid-America Pastel Society and Chicago Pastel Painters. We've all gotten on board all three societies with having Zoom meetings with guest speakers and demonstrators all over the world. And it's been so valuable. So there's been a lot of what members get out of it now during the pandemic by just paying their dues. And then they're watching demonstrators do marvelous pastel paintings. And they're from all over the world. And you can sit there in your pajamas and watch this. And it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Marianne, do you have a daily practice?
No. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
When I get going, my goal is to create one frame-worthy piece of artwork per month. And I've achieved over and above that goal for the past 23 years. So that's a lot of artwork. And usually when I get going on a piece of artwork, I can't stop. I'm driven. And so I don't do it on a daily basis. But then when I get going, it's like, oh, that's right. You were supposed to eat and sleep. Oh, okay.
Well, and, you know, I think our audience would be interested in your process. You also teach, but, you know, tell us about that. I know you actually are quite a photographer, and actually you have a piece in the Exhibit B that's happening. You can tell us a little about that also, but tell us about your process, how you start, whether a photograph or a sketch or something like that, and take you all the way through the finished piece.
I usually almost always start with a photograph. Photography is my second love after art, and I've got some really nice Nikon cameras, and I go hiking at the dunes a lot, and I take pictures, close-up pictures. I've been concentrating on close-ups of birds, flowers, butterflies, animals up close for the past few years, and usually my material comes from reference photos that I've taken at the Indiana dunes, and then I tweak that image using Photoshop. I crop it. I look at the composition of it. And then when I finally decide, ooh, that's a good composition, that will make a nice painting, then I sit down and sketch it looking at the reference photo onto pastel paper. I do a little mini sketch also to look at the values, the lights and darks and medium tones, just with a charcoal pencil, because since I've been using charcoal pretty much my whole life, I can think better when I'm doodling with a charcoal pencil.
Oh.
And so I get all my thoughts and ideas down with that charcoal pencil into a mini sketch. And then I'm ready to put the initial drawing in with charcoal onto the pastel paper. And then I start adding the pastels onto the surface. I usually work one shape, one piece of the whole at a time. I don't usually work over the whole painting all at once. I don't know. It's how my brain works. I just go from shape to shape, and I start top to bottom, left to right. That way I'm not smudging my hand into something that I've already done.
Right.
It comes with
so easy to do.
Yes. And pastels, I tell my students all the time, this is a messy sport. Messy sport. You have to keep that in mind. Because since I'm using my fingers to blend and I'm resting the heel of my hand on my paper, just going from top to bottom, left to right, because I'm right-handed, just makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's how I
know, because once you're involved in any type of work, you do lose track of where your body is in relation mm-hmm. to it sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
Love to talk about the Indiana Dunes Artist in Residence program, especially like the particulars, like are you required to do X amount of pieces? What are the guidelines?
I just remembered I forgot to mention Exhibit B, but maybe I can do that later because I can tell everybody how long that exhibit's going to last. And so,
well, go ahead, tell us about that, and then blend into the other one. So,
okay, Exhibit B is a photography exhibit going on at the Indiana Dunes State Park right now in their Nature Center, and it's there through October 29, and it's photographs of things beginning with the letter B. That's why it's called Exhibit B. Mine is a photograph that got accepted into this show of a butterfly in flight over a bunch of goldenrod at Minoke Prairie. The photographs, there were 89 photographs submitted and only 17 were accepted by a team of three photographers. And it's a beautiful exhibit, absolutely beautiful. It's sponsored by a program called Chautauqua in the Dunes, and it's going on through the end of October. So,
sounds fabulous.
Concerning the AIR program, Artist in Residency program, I applied near the end of last year. I worked up the courage to apply. It's something that I've wanted to apply to for a long time because the Indiana Dunes and I go way back, way, way back. I have been visiting the dunes since I was a baby, according to my parents. I don't remember when I was a baby, but our family always went camping. And as I grew up, and by the time I was done with high school, I had visited 40 out of the 50 United States. We did two trips a year. One was a traveling trip all across America, different places. The other was a stay in one place trip, and that was to the Indiana Dunes. So 1 week every summer we spent at the Indiana Dunes. I grew up knowing how high each of the dunes was. I grew up knowing what dune was the best one to sit on to watch the sunset over Lake Michigan. I could tell you what leaves and plants to avoid because that's poison ivy and you don't want to brush against that. I could tell
you.
Good
one to know.
Yes, I could tell you what trees had the most interesting leaves. And there's something about visiting a place every year that helps you to dig down further, more than just getting a lay of the land. And I became really, really excited to go to be at the dunes for a week and have the birds wake us up in the morning and the frogs and the crickets chirp us to sleep at night. It was wonderful. And so I finally worked up the courage because I was really afraid. There are talented artists who have been artists in residence at the Indiana Dunes. And I decided, I think I know what I want to concentrate on. This was last year. So I worked up the courage to apply. And it's like filling out a college exam. I kid you not. But when I was accepted, I was just thrilled because my concentration during this residency is to focus on the little things, unnoticed things of the Indiana Dunes, the birds, the flowers, the butterflies.
Insects? Do you do insects?
I haven't yet, but I'm considering it. but the things that go unnoticed at the Indiana Dunes, and that's what I want to feature in my work. And two of the things that I have to do during my residency are write journal entries in a communal journal. And I've already entered 14 entries in that communal journal. And that's what I'm required to do is 14 entries. And I have more to say. So I'm not going to stop there. And the other thing is to donate a piece of my artwork that I have completed during my residency that focuses on my main key element that I'm looking at during my residency. Most artists in residence are, almost all of them, it's just a 2-week stint with free housing and near the Indiana Dunes. I don't need free housing because I live within 2 miles of the dunes. So in exchange for not needing housing, my residency goes instead of 2 weeks from May through October.
Wow.
Yes. It's been marvelous. Yes. I've gone on guided hikes with rangers and learned so much about the flora and fauna of the Indiana Dunes.
So your piece that you might donate might not even be completed yet. Or do you have a sense
of... I haven't even started it. I haven't even started it yet. But I know what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to say because that's the surprise part. So.
Of course.
Well, on September 16th, you'll be doing a talk at the Indiana Dunes Visitor Center. Can you just give us, in the last couple minutes we have here, just a brief preview of what you're going to share?
I'm going to talk about growing up, visiting the Indiana Dunes, and talk about how my own personal art history has intertwined with and been inspired by the Indiana Dunes my whole life. It's just a really neat life experience, and that's what I'm going to share. And I'm going to show 50 slides of my artwork to show everybody how the Indiana Dunes has influenced my work over my lifetime. The other thing that I wanted to say is that I hope through my residency to inspire people to stop and look more closely at the birds and the flowers and the butterflies and the plants of the Indiana Dunes, because there's so much more than just the beaches. So much more.
Yeah, but the beaches are pretty fabulous too.
They are. And the sunsets over Lake Michigan, they just can't beat.
You can't beat it. In our final minute here, we just want to give you a chance to tell us about any upcoming exhibitions, your website, how people can get in touch with you, and maybe if they want to get you to commission a work.
My website is maryannpals.com, maryannpals.com. I even have an AIR 2023 page on there. My blog, a lot of people find interesting. And I
can attest to that. It's a very interesting blog.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a very good writer.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art of the Year. That's Mary Ann Pals. You can find her at maryannpals.com. And, of course, when you click on her picture on our website, it'll take you right there. You can contact her through her website. And she'll be giving her talk on September 16th at the Indiana Dunes Visitor Center. You can also stop by the Indiana Nature Center for the State Park and see her work in Exhibit B. Mary Ann, thank you for coming back on Art of the Year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Art of the Year listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
This is Karen Matavia with It's Just Serendipity, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Becky Osborne to Art on the Air. Becky is a lifetime music educator with a bachelor's and master's degree in music education. She has taught classroom music to elementary through college students and has spent 30 plus years teaching private lessons to amateurs and professionals alike. Becky performs with the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra and directs their vocal ensemble, Illumination. She is the founder and owner of Music of Oz. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Becky. It's excellent to see you.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we're glad to have you on. We're very interested in your background, just like our audiences, and we learned to hear it. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Becky.
Okay. I am a lifelong Northwest Indiana resident. I'm originally from Hammond, and now I live in DeMott. I studied music education at Butler University and at Valparaiso University, taught high school choral music for about 15 years, and then started teaching at Purdue North Central. I taught the music classes there for many years, and opened a private music studio. At one point, I had three studios. Now I have one in Crown Point.
Very good. And tell us a little bit about music in your earlier life, how that music came into it. Like, were you drawn to certain things? Did you have a great piano vocal teacher somewhere early in your life?
Well, actually, I was the youngest in the household, and my parents I can still hear my mother saying this, that she got tired of fighting kids to practice for their lessons. So being the youngest one, I didn't jump into it right away because mom and dad were tired of you know, dealing with it all. So a piano was always there. There were always instruments in the house. The other kids took instruments in band. So I kind of came to it later and started seriously playing the piano and studying the piano about the end of my sophomore year in high school, which for a piano principal person, that's a pretty late time. But I came from a family that wanted to encourage. My parents weren't very musical. They loved to sing poorly, but they loved to sing, and they wanted a house full of music. They were great appreciators. In fact, today people will ask me, oh, I bet your kids are great musicians. And it's like, well, you know, my kids, I think, kind of felt like, well, we got this happening in the house. I don't know that I want to be a part of this. But my kids are great appreciators. And every musician needs somebody to really appreciate what they do. So that's where we are.
It's so true. And so how did you... So how did you come to the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra?
I came through the back door. I had a piano student who was the pianist with the symphony. And there was a concert coming, and the music was just more than, he was just overwhelmed with it. And so it just came about. I said, well, I can help you. Do you want me to help you? And ultimately, it came to the then conductor asked me if I would just play the concert. And so I played for that concert and have been doing so for the last 15 years, just kind of fell into it. So
right place, right time. Excellent.
Very much so. Very much so.
Becky, did you have any other instruments in your life?
Poorly, yes. I have what's called an area major, which means you're certified in instrumental music as well as vocal music. So, yes, I can play other instruments, but, you know, that's a really loose use of that term. Right now, sitting here, I'm looking at a flute and a violin and a ukulele and, so I dabble. How about that?
Sure. No, that's okay. Yeah, experimentation. I know my daughter one time, she's a saxophonist, and they brought home an oboe, learned the fingering, and was playing it. And again, it's not at the proficiency, but I understand that.
Exactly. It's good fun.
So tell us about, we touched on in your intro and a little about the studio, but tell us about the Music of the Oz studio and how that came to be and a little bit about it.
Okay. When you are a music teacher, everybody wants to know if you'll teach their kids. And so I taught a few kids outside of the classroom. And then I ended up, there was a kind of a negative situation, and I left a high school teaching position. And the studio music just kind of came about because it was filling a void financially at that point in time. So, we put a studio in our basement of our home. And at one point we had 110 students in the basement of our home. We put like three itty bitty little studios. So there would be three teachers teaching simultaneously. We realized that that was just not an ideal situation. So eventually I moved to storefronts. And at one point I had a storefront in Michigan City and one in DeMott where we live and one in Crown Point. And I still have the one in Crown Point on the square.
Wow, that's magnificent. But it's not just music, because when I went to the website, there's sewing and art exactly. And music for tiny tots.
Exactly. We have, for a while, I was working with some people at the college at St. Joe when there used to be a college down there. And so I was doing some music development courses with them. And so that's where the preschool music thing kind of came from. That, and I did my master's study in preschool music instruction and music education for preschool age kids. So my best friend is an elementary music teacher, and she and I developed a program for the preschool age children. So at the studio, we have, yes, classes for preschool age. We have sewing. We have art. we try to cover as much as we possibly can. We normally have about 20 teachers on staff, and we teach everything we possibly can. You know, guitar, whoever I can find a qualified person to join the staff, that's the direction we go. So, you know, we'll have percussion, brass, woodwinds, you know, that stuff.
Yeah, also vocals as well. Yes, which is amazing. What a beautiful business. So I'd like to talk about Hoosier Star, which is how we found you, really, because we were talking to Savannah Holly, and she mentioned that after the vocalists are chosen, their next step is meeting with you. And that really got me to thinking. And then you guide them to pick the best music for their voices. And that really, that's like such a tremendous undertaking. I thought about that for a minute and I thought, oh my gosh, you're working with so many different genres of music, so many different types of voices, and to have the, so that takes in like all of your knowledge and all of your experience for, you know, this interaction. So what is it like from your perspective when you first have that vocalist meeting with you?
Thank you. It's so at the very first time, they've been selected by three judges. I wasn't part of the selection process at all. We now set up a time where each contestant who's now a finalist comes in and they bring three selections that they feel like they could comfortably perform. And I listen to those three selections and I find what I think is best on that voice. And also what, then as I start to put the program together, what's going to work best with what we've already got? You know, so we try to put together just a really powerful program for our audience. So they're very entertained. So it's not always the singer's first choice. So that's kind of tough. That's tough for them. That's tough for me to say, I'm sorry, but I think it's just going to work better if you do this. So they came with their three choices, but bottom line, they usually have one in their heart that they really want to do, but it just has to fit with the overall format of the program. And yes, we have classical, we have country, we have pop, we have theater. We have so many different genres represented in this particular show.
And so after they work with you, what are the next instruments that come into play with the orchestra as they're getting ready?
Okay, so after we've made a selection, then I contact, we have an arranger in Nashville, and he writes, it's how we're legally able to do these things. He writes us original arrangements for us to use with the orchestra with this vocalist. And so then it takes several months to get all that together. Jerry and I are in touch with each other a lot. He's asking, you know, what he asks great questions. You know, he wants to know about this vocalist. He wants to know what's involved. So we make choices there as well. We put together the music. And then as soon as he puts it on a program and he plays it for them so they can already start to listen to what it's going to sound like. Then about a month before the actual show, there's rehearsal with myself, a vocalist, and our drummer. And Brad is wonderful. At that point in time, when we talk about tempos, I talk about, let's try to put a little vibrato there. I talk about, ooh, don't grab that air there. You know, those kind of things,
right.
Just tightening everything up on it. We do that. Then at the next rehearsal, it's drums, lead guitar, bass guitar, myself, another keyboard, and the background singers. And I will have met with the background singers several times just to put it all together before I throw them in with the soloists. So they're comfortable with what they're doing as well. Then the next rehearsal is with the full orchestra.
Wow. This is like such a, thank you for this behind the scenes, because we just see that final product that's so tight and wonderful, but you know that so much has to go into it ahead of time. So when the contestants or these finalists are up there with the orchestra, have they had one time with the whole orchestra, or?
They will have had three rehearsals with the orchestra before the actual contest.
Because that must be so overwhelming, even with rehearsing with the orchestra, that moment when it all happens. And
yes.
Yeah.
And it's a different thing with a vocalist singing with an orchestra because, you know, they can lead and lag when they have just a piano or a small accompaniment, but then with an orchestra, it's a little harder for them to do that. So
exactly. And we try every way we can to prep them for what this is going to be like, because it's very exciting.
Oh, it's tremendously exciting as an audience member, you know, as well. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM on WVLP 103.1 FM.
So in your business where you have so many things at Oz, which is in Crown Point, we'll give you a moment in about a minute or so to tell how people get in touch with you. How many students do you have in the different areas?
Oh, I don't know individually. We generally run maybe 150. It just depends. You know, it's seasonal. You probably know that in summer, our numbers are lower.
Right.
And then during the school year, we're higher. But generally, like most of my students are adults. So we have all different ages. I think currently our oldest student is 80 and our, you know, we start with infants. So
is that a piano or a different instrument? Because I know you have like piano and violin and flute or winds, just all sorts of instruments.
Right. Currently, we have an 80-year-old piano student, but not long ago, we had a 92-year-old drummer, and that was pretty fun. She decided she was going to learn to play the drums.
Excellent. Yeah, I love percussion, too.
Do you ever do any other, I mean, obviously, you perform with the symphony, but do you ever do any solo performing or do any performance, like, on your own?
Yeah, I do. I play a set of some kind of jazz-inspired music, and then I have a small ensemble. We're called Don't Know Why, because we don't know why. But we do cover that song, so in case you're wondering. But we play just some light jazz, some cabaret kind of things, mostly jazz-inspired, and we do things for the holiday, but we do things, we're more like, you know, dinner music kind of thing. And there are four of us in that group. We have a vocalist and myself and bass and percussion.
Excellent. Well, we're just...
Yeah, I play by myself sometimes. Ah, you know, somebody can hire that too.
Excellent. Well, we only have about a minute left. I want to give you an opportunity, Becky, to tell our audience how people can find you online, get in touch with you and everything like that.
Okay. There is a website and it's called musicofoz.com. And that's because when I taught, high school students called me Mrs. Oz or Osborne. So that's where it all came from. People think I'm tied to the Yellow Brick Road, but I'm really not. So it's musicofoz.com, and that's it. And if you contact that on that website, it comes to me, and I'll be happy to answer you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art on the Air and giving us a behind-the-curtain look at the Hoosier Star. And, of course, we're going to be listening to Savannah here in just a moment, one of your students that you guided through that. So thank you for coming on the show and explaining that. That's Becky Osborne from Music of Oz.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I hope you'll all come to Hoosier Star.
Love it. We are happy to welcome Savannah Holly to Art on the Air. Savannah is an 18-year-old singer from Michigan City, Indiana, and was the Hoosier Star Youth winner from 2022. She is currently in her sophomore year of college at Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University, where she studies voice performance. When not singing, Savannah enjoys doing escape rooms with her family and friends. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Savannah. Hi.
Hi.
Well, Savannah, how we want to find out about you and want our audience to hear about you, kind of your story. And since you're 18, I know it's not as long, but talk about how music came into your life, a little bit about Hoosier Star and everything. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us a little bit about Savannah.
Right. So I always grew up loving music, loving just plucking out tunes on the piano, just listening to music. I started getting into more classical music when I got to about fifth or sixth grade. I joined my school choir and started doing ISMA, the solo and ensemble competitions. And that's when I started auditioning for Hoosier Star, actually. It was in fifth grade. And I kept doing that.
Yeah, I think
that.
I read that you auditioned seven times before you finally got the yes, right?
Times for Hoosier Star. So since I auditioned from the time I was 10 to I was 17, and I got in when I was 17. But yeah, so I was really just doing the opportunities that my school allowed for me. I also started my private voice lessons when I was 10. that my mom financed for me. So, and I was doing that throughout the same amount of time, those 7 years. When I got to high school, that's when I started realizing I wanted to pursue it really professionally. And that's when I decided I wanted to go to IU to study voice performance, because they have an amazing music school here. And I graduated high school when I was 16 and took a little gap year. And then I applied to Music here, got in, and I basically have a full ride, and I'm just living it up, studying my voice performance.
That's great.
Are you still doing your private lessons?
So I do not take the private lessons with my old instructor. Instead, it's now a part of my curriculum at the music school. So I take private lessons with a teacher here.
You know, I think our audience would be interested in the process of Hoosier Star. Tell us about that experience of, you know, getting to, well, not only audition, you talked about the multiple audition, but auditioning, but then about actually doing the performance, the whole thing about rehearsal. Talk us through that whole process.
Right. So the audition, I mean, I've been through it many years. basically just sing for a panel of like four different judges. And then they get back to you about a month or so later, or a couple weeks later, and you find out. And then as far as rehearsals go, you do like a little testful with the people in charge of Hoosier Star. And that way they figure out what piece they think is best for you and the orchestra collaboratively. And then after that, you don't do another rehearsal until about closer to showtime. So like August, September, and then you do a couple of rehearsals with the orchestra so to make sure that you're prepared with the orchestra. And then that Saturday Hoosier Star Night is so amazing. It feels, I equate it very much to the feeling of like a high school prom. Like you get all dressed up and you get all loved and everything. And then you go and you put your best, like you put your best foot forward, and to have the opportunity to sing with the LCSO is amazing. They're amazing. And it's one of those really magical experiences that you don't forget.
Well, I'll have to say, I'll use that word too, because it was magical to watch you, because you're you have such exquisite control and like pristine diction, you know, when you're singing, and I could actually see the notes like rolling around in your mouth as you found the place in it where they needed to be. It was just like, it was a magical performance.
Thank you.
Well, let's take Thank a listen you. To one of the things you've done from one of my favorite musicals, Fiddler on the Roof, and it's called Far From the Home I Love. Let's take a listen to Savannah Holly singing that.
To be as I was.
Oh, Savannah, that was beautiful. I love that gorgeous scene and everything. It's gorgeous and everything like that. It's a beautiful scene and beautifully rendered by yourself. Quickly, before we wrap up here, tell us a little bit about what your plans are after college.
So, after college, you know, once I get my bachelor's, I would like to get also a master's in music. But really, the goal is just to be able to pursue what I love, and that really is music. And any way that I can still connect myself with that, ideally, I would love to be able to do opera and do shows professionally. And that's been my dream since I was little, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, we wish you all the best in your career, and hope talk to you later down the road when you're already get out there and performing. Hope to see you on things. That's Savannah Holly, and she was the 2022 Hoosier Star Youth winner and now pursuing her dream as a music. Thank you so much for being on Art in the Air.
Thank you. I'll buy that ticket. Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art in the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org, and Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on WDSO 88.3 FM. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operation for Lakeshore Public Media, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts, give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.